you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Hey everyone, I'm Mark Schanowski. On this edition of the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light, we bring you the season-ending news conference with Executive Vice President of Basketball Operations, John Paxson. Paxson made some news saying it's very possible the Bulls will make a long-term contract commitment with head coach Jim Boylen. Pax is counting on adding impact players through the draft and some veterans in free agency this summer with the hopes of getting the Bulls back into playoff contention. Here's the full John Paxson news conference.
Good afternoon. First of all, I had the opportunity to meet with our players last night after our game in Philadelphia. My message to them was that the goal is never to just make it through the 82 games. It's to reach something beyond that. Understanding that where we're at in this whole process of 2 years, and ideally this season would have given us a larger sample size of this group together, especially after we made the trade for Otto, but it's the NBA and we were faced with some injuries and some obstacles that sometimes are hard to overcome. With that said, we're confident that we have a foundation in place with several players. We are confident in the direction that we are headed. We understand always how important offseason is, where we will have another high draft pick. We have the opportunity to bring in some veteran players, which will be a priority for us to help this roster grow. And those things are important. We made a change in midseason with our coach, and Jim Boylen, in our estimation, has done terrific things in terms of establishing what we want in this building and with this organization, especially on the practice floor, how to carry yourself and how to work. And I can tell you this, I spent this morning, Jim had a meeting with our players, probably half an hour. It was spot on about just expectations. We've been sitting in on some player end of season meetings, and I can tell you that the thing that excites me about our direction with our head coach is his passion and his care level for our players and this organization. He wants to succeed. He wants our players to get better. He has a plan in place for all of them in order to do so this offseason, and that's very encouraging. I think given a summer, given an opportunity to go into training camp next year with his own beliefs and philosophy, will be an advantage for us. So, like I said, it's never easy in this business to lose, because we're in the winning business and that's what we aspire to. I thought going into this season that if we'd stayed healthy, we would have had an opportunity to win a significant number of games from last year, but that didn't happen. As I look on it now, it might be a blessing in disguise in terms of our draft position, those type of things. So, but I committed to our direction. We're going to be patient, but we're also going to take advantage of opportunities that come our way. So I'll take questions.
John, what is your message to Bulls fans, not only after this year of such a terrible season record-wise, but over the last couple of years? What is your message to them to give them some hope regarding the future moving on from 2019-2020 season and on?
Well, we knew when we went to trade Jimmy that it wasn't going to be easy. I think this year was difficult from the standpoint that we had four injuries to key players that you can't anticipate. Lowry went down the third practice of training camp and with an elbow injury that happened in a scrimmage. Denzel's out the entire year with ankle surgery. Then Wendell falls in L.A., breaks his thumb, and Chandler breaks a toe. Those are four injuries that ended up being, you know, three of them were season-ending. For a team that's trying to grow and develop, that makes it very difficult. And as you saw, as the season went along and we got toward the end, we were rolling out players that, you know, that we didn't want to necessarily have playing games for us in that regard. We wanted to see our entire roster together. That's the thing. So rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap. And I did tell the players, you know, and you've heard Zach's commented on, you know, he wants to be a playoff team next year. I think our goal next year has to be in the hunt. We want to be in that hunt again. Now, that's going to take us being healthy. That's the first and the first thing in this whole thing. And, you know, and hopefully we'll get a little luck in that regard. But the four major injuries we had this year were things we couldn't account for.
John, when you mentioned when you guys traded Jimmy Butler, went in that direction, you know, I look back and you had said that you wanted to move away from mediocrity towards a championship again. To do that, you're going to need superstars. Where are you going to get those superstars? I mean, to me, that's the biggest question. Is you're building a team right now, but it looks like it's a team going back towards maybe being a fifth seed or a fourth seed. It doesn't have superstars. And where are those superstars going to come from? How are you guys going to get those, and how are you going to attract them to come here?
Well, we first have to – the first part of that is through the draft and to get relevant again. I'm not ruling out Zach LaVine or Lauri Markkanen being – significant players in this league. You know, Zach just turned 24, and I thought Zach had a really good year, And he grew in a lot of ways where I think he's going to get better. Lowry's just still a young guy. So as I've mentioned many times, the internal growth of our guys is a key part of that. And I do believe when we establish winning again, that the city is a draw, this organization is a draw. And but that's down the road. That's why we made the deal at the trade deadline for Otto. We felt that was a significant piece to becoming a much better basketball team. And over that stretch where we had him and we were healthy, we were playing at a level that I could see us playing at in the future. So we're trying to build towards what you're talking about.
Pax, it looks like you've identified four young starters right now. Chris Dunn's been here for 2 years. His development has been kind of uneven based on injuries and production. Why hasn't Chris been able to seize the reins on that spot, and what are your plans to upgrade the position during the offseason?
Well, we have not given up on Chris. I think he has defensive abilities, but We have to get better at that position. There's absolutely no question in my mind. He has an opportunity this summer to improve his game, come back with the mindset of being a true push guard, getting us to play with pace. I do see our starting lineup with three legitimate three-point shooters in Zach, Lowry, and Otto. A point guard who can get those guys opportunities will be a priority. So Chris is going to have opportunity because he's under contract, but we understand as an organization that that's a position that if we're to make a step in the right direction, that we're going to have to address. No beating around the bush on that one.
John, you've praised Jim's teaching ability and his passion and his care factor. Do you have what are your thoughts about some of his stylistic approaches to the game? Obviously, you know, with his focus on paint touches and not taking as many threes, it flies a little bit in the face of today's NBA. Do you have any thoughts about that?
I personally don't subscribe to the theory that you have to shoot 50 threes a game to win at a high level. Jim's thing is getting to the rim. It's not necessarily through post passing and that, but although that's still something that you know, if you have players that can catch the ball close to the basket and score, that's still a valuable thing. His thing is getting to the paint and drawing defense. If you have shooters who are out there with them, who can space the floor, that's valuable too. So what we are talking about and what we'll continue to talk about is versatility in our lineup. And we envision adding, you know, versatile wings to the team. We envision at times Lowry sliding to the five now, Otto sliding to the four, having guys that can, as Jim's mentioned many times, the multiple ball handler thing. If we can be a team that rebounds from Lowry's position, from Otto's position, and those guys have an ability to push it out, and we can get the ball up the floor quickly and advance it, those are things that's more to me what the league is about and how we can do that and do it better. So we're looking for, as we go into this offseason, we're going to be looking for versatile guys because I think we have the type of lineup, again, assuming we're healthy, that we can throw some difficult things out there for guys. But the reality is we're still, you know, I can't lose sight of the fact that we're still young. These guys have to grow internally. A lot of it's on the individual to get better. It just is. I mean, we all of us who played knows that, you know, you had to improve in areas that you were weak at, and our guys have to do that. And what Jim's been doing today, it's as efficient of a postseason exit interview I've seen. He's laid it all out there for each guy, exactly what he thinks they need to work on. It's been done in a very, very positive way in terms of showing that he believes in them and wants them to get better. So we're at a really good place with our head coach in terms of the direction we're headed.
John, in that kind of same vein, you guys have been so enthusiastic about the work Jim's done. Do you foresee the organization making a long-term commitment to him before next season?
It's very possible. It's very possible. In fact, I've spoken to both Jerry and Michael about addressing that, and I don't know what the timing will be, but I envision Jim being our coach here and us committing to him, yes.
Hey, Pax. How you doing?
Hi, George.
How do you get over the perception that this is not a destination franchise and that it is not a well-run organization?
You always have an opportunity to change that. My feeling is that the relationships that are really important are with the player and then subsequently with their agent. And if you have good relationships with the agent, then you're going to be able to get people in your door in terms of recruiting them or whatever that may be. So I personally cannot listen or pay attention to the outside noise and those things that are said. Some of it's true, some of it's not. And I do think that when you establish yourself, which we're trying to do right now as a relevant team again, and as we get better, positioning ourselves to have money when guys come up in the future, I think this will be a destination place. I do. But we have to get better. That's the thing. We have to get to a point where we are playing for important things. But again, our young guys have to develop into the type of players that other guys would want to play with. And I think we have a couple guys right now on the roster, and hopefully we'll have more in the future. Well, I mean, I can only believe that, you know, I'm sure there's some people out there who believe it's not, you know, a great destination. Maybe it's a media guy. I don't know who it is. But, you know, there's so much noise out there, we can't pay attention to that. All we can worry about is what we do in this building. And I like what we're doing right now. I think we're going to have a good summer. I think Jim's going to be, attentive to everything that we're trying to do. I feel like we're in sync in that regard. And our players understand, you know, it's as we've had some discussion with them, the young guys especially feel an obligation to get better and to right this ship as an organization. And I think, honestly, that they see, many of them see Jim as a guy that is investing in them. You know, Jim's already talking about wherever they are this summer, going out and spending time with them, you know, spending a few days with each of them just to be there and show them that they have value to us. So in that regard, I'm confident with a lot of things going on.
What's the future of your assistant coaches, and how open are you to maybe adding more experience on the bench, given that you elevated Jim with experience to head coaching and then had less experience there?
We're going to have meetings on everything organizationally, and there's nothing that won't be discussed or addressed. And that's really all I can say right now about that. I need to sit down with Jim and identify where he feels he needs help, and we'll go from there. But it's an area that all areas are going to be talked about. But that's one. Absolutely, we obviously elevated our associate coach to head coach, and now we have to determine. And then you change in midstream. You know we work with what we had. Love all the guys on our staff. They work hard. They're really good people. Our players like them. But we're gonna look at what's best for the organization, what's best for Jim, and go about it that way.
John, you talk about the passion and the care level that Jim has, and you cite that. What makes you think that today's NBA player is more likely to respond to that kind of approach rather than resist it?
I think what I've seen is his ability to show these guys that he genuinely cares about them. That his goal is to get them better as individuals. And, I'm the first to admit that first week was, it was like dynamite blowing up, I mean, it was a rocky week. But what I've seen since then is a guy that embraces this challenge. He embraces the individuals he's coaching. He really does view himself as a teacher. A guy that wants to connect with the players. And sometimes you have to be demanding and hard. And I still believe that you can demand as a head coach, as long as you're showing these guys that you're doing it because you care about them and that you want them to succeed. Because all players want to succeed. And so I'm just confident. I can tell you this honestly. I've had in the 4 months that four and a half months that Jim's been the head coach, he and I have had more dialogue together about everything than I had with any of the other guys, and probably combined. It's just there's been a rhythm to it, and he's receptive to a lot of things that we talk about. Doug Collins has been terrific for him. That they communicate all the time. Doug's wisdom and expertise as a coach has been really valuable. So I see some really good things, and again, it goes back to what I see in this building every day and what I see on the road and how he's approaching situations. Nobody's perfect. I mean, we all, I rub people the wrong way sometimes in this office. Jim's going to rub players the wrong way sometimes. Phil Jackson rubbed players the wrong way. The great ones do. We're just, we're going to try to build something here with him as our coach, and I'm confident in that right now.
You talked just before a little bit about positioning the point guard, you mentioned, and there's this notion popularized in the NBA today that it's a positionless league. But there still seems to be a lot of really tall people in the league. And Wendell, before he was hurt, a lot of those games with Embiid, Drummond, Boban, it was difficult. And obviously Robin Lopez is a free agent. Is Wendell a center legitimately for what you're planning? And is that a position that you have to explore more?
Well, Wendell is still a 19-year-old young man, and he's got the physical frame to add muscle and bulk to his frame, which ultimately will help him. And I do think that he has the ability to defend that position better. But, look, he was overwhelmed at times, and rightfully so, but it was from a physical standpoint, not from a mental standpoint, going against those big bodies. Andre Drummond wasn't – he was big when he came in the league, but he wasn't as big as he is now. So Wendell's going to grow. And again, with some of the young guys we've drafted over the last several years, you have to be a little bit patient in terms of that development physically. So, but we're going to look at, again, we're going to look at a lot of different things this offseason. But again, try to build a roster that Jim's comfortable coaching. I think sometimes, especially on the defensive end of the floor, if you have too many if you have too many schemes that you're trying because your personnel isn't cohesive, then you end up not being, you know, really good at anything that you can, or something you can hang your hat on every game. So we're going to look at a lot of things. But Wendell's got a really bright future, and it's unfortunate that he got hurt, because the value that would have happened over the games he missed would have been great for him.
John, with the injuries, how much do you look at that as just the freak nature of the game versus maybe having to examine, you know, some of the training and nutrition methods?
We have, as I mentioned, the four injuries we had, and then, you know, you can even throw in the fact that, you know, what happened with Lowry in Toronto. The four, there's, I don't know what you can do about those. You know, you can't prepare for a fall and a broken thumb and things like that. So I'm not going to dwell on that. We have great confidence in our strength and conditioning staff. Chip Schaefer, his credentials are as good as anyone. And the thing that I tried to impress upon the players last night is that we have everything here for them to work and improve this summer. You know, I mean, for players to endure an 82-game season, they have to get stronger, they have to become more powerful. They need to spend more time in the room over here behind us where they use the resources we have. And I made that as clear as I could last night to the players. I think our training methods are excellent if the players will buy into them. I think Lowry last year, for example, he had a great summer, he got stronger. And our doctors told us with the elbow injury that, you know, it's likely that had he not gotten that strength, he might have been out the entire year when he got hurt. So I'm confident in our training methods. I would like to see our players in this building adhering to that. I believe that, and I saw it over my entire career, you need a real strength base in order to make it through an 82-game season. You do. And guys sometimes look to the outside of an organization, you know, other people get involved. They say, we got this guy who can work with you and do this and improve you. We have a lot of resources, and we have a philosophy we believe in, but the players have to buy into it, and we try to educate them and get them to. And I do know that all our young guys are going to buy into it this offseason. That's important to us.
John, I know you can't talk specifically about free agents, but you will have roughly, I guess, $20 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, you've talked about adding versatile players, but are you targeting positions, or is it just whatever veterans fit what you're trying to do? And I have a quick follow-up after you.
Well, I think first thing we need to do is see what happens in our draft. You know, I mean, a lot of that will be I think that will determine a lot of what we do in free agency. I think this year in the draft, we're going to have to keep a broad mind in terms of how we want to go about things. Gar and I have talked about that a lot. So, but we'll identify. I mean, we want to. What would I do? What I will tell you, I know for certain, is we need some physical and mental toughness from some vets to help our guys out, and that'll be a priority.
Do you have any response to a certain Chicago point guards camp talking about being open to a return?
I'm not allowed to talk about free agents.
My last follow-up then is, have you seen the Derrick Rose movie that's been released?
I have not seen it. Have you guys seen it? Yeah, I've not seen it. I was interviewed for it, and Derrick, obviously, I mean, he's a Chicago kid, and we had good times. There were some rougher times, but he's a great kid, and you know, Chicago loves him. We have great respect for him.
Hey, John, you mentioned the draft, and you also mentioned luck. Those two things came into play when Derrick, you know, fell into your lap that year. You're going to get a good player, whether it's 1 through 8. But if you do get either 1 or 2, it could be a generational kind of player. Do you even for a moment think about that if Zion or number 2 falls into your lap, what that would mean to this organization?
Now, you know what, David, and honest to God, you can't. I don't think that way. You just can't. We'll find out on May 14th. You know, luck and hope are not a strategy or a plan. We have to plan for what the reality is on that day, and we will. And I'm confident. I think we've done a really good job in terms of drafting the last couple of years at 7. There's always value. You're right. There's, you know, can't talk about the kids, but we all know what's out there, and whoever gets lucky is gonna, you know, be better off. But we're making progress in my mind, It didn't show up in wins and losses because the injuries hurt us. We had no continuity to our team. It was such a disjointed year because of that. And the group, once we got Otto, didn't get to play together that long. So I think Otto's an understated addition for our team going into next year. I really do. The sample size of 15 games that he played for us, he showed some versatility offensively that he really didn't display in Washington. He was a better pick and roll player and passer than I anticipated. So there's some, again, it's a slow process, but with health, I think we're, again, we got a solid foundation with where we're heading.
John, of your 60 losses, 32 were at home. First of all, how much does that perturb you? And how can you assure your fans that you have the right plan in place and direction to not be in this same position next year?
Well, yeah, the home wins or home losses were bad. You hope that your guys take that seriously. Jim and I have talked about that, and he's addressed that with the team. That's something that you can't accept. And if you're going to be battling for a playoff team, you have to win 25, 26 home games. You just do. So, but again, I think I've talked about it. We did not have a healthy team, and I know I sound like a broken record here, but the four major injuries we had were we couldn't do anything about. You just can't do it. So, but obviously we got some good news with Lowry through all the tests he had. That's a relief. That's something now that he's being educated on things that he needs to do with his diet and all those things. So, if we can ever get this group together healthy, I'm confident we're going to improve. We're going to add two or three players to this group this summer, and it should make us deeper. And with that, and with Jim having a full training camp heading forward, to me, that's a solid start.
John, nobody has more passion for this organization than you, but I'm just wondering if you're still enjoying sitting in the seat and answering the questions. And I almost feel like you're maybe more motivated now than maybe ever just to get it back to where you want it to be.
And there's no question. And I can't understate this. 2 years ago, we took on a challenge that we knew was going to be hard, but we also knew or felt that we were getting a jump start on. Getting Lowry and Zach in that deal, Chris Dunn, getting Wendell, that pick out of that situation. The fact that had we been healthy this year, we probably wouldn't be sitting here with an opportunity like we're going to have in the lottery. So, yeah, we undertook something that was difficult, but we knew it going in. And I believe that we are on the right track. So much of it is leadership, and Jim has accepted that. He said to these group of guys that he's going to lead them. He's going to show them the right way. He's going to be truthful with them. He's going to coach them the way that he feels they need to be coached. And I'll find out a lot. I think I already have found out a lot about some of these guys and how they react to coaching. And there's always chirping out there where, people think a guy is a certain way, but, people don't have the luxury that I have where you can sit in there and watch him do his work every day on the practice floor and how he does support and encourage, all the while making sure that they are held to a standard. And that's important. That's to me is basketball. That's coaching, teaching.
John, not to be that guy and always ask this question, it seems like, but I know you guys believe in Gar Foreman, a general manager, but why, because of his scouting, why not put a guy in place that's a general manager that could be more front and center and let Gar be that player personnel scouting guy? And the second part of that question, Jerry Reinsdorf isn't the most patient guy from my history. Has he told you guys at any point within the last year that, hey, I'm going to give you a chance to work through this rebuild, but this is it. This has to work, or I have to look to make a change?
No, he's never said that, but I think we're all smart enough to know the reality of this business. I mean, we convinced Jerry and Michael that this was the right way to go at that time. But we all know the reality of this. And Jerry, he gets frustrated with losing. I mean, I do too. None of us you know, want to lose. As I mentioned earlier, we're in the business of winning. But there's been nothing said like that. As for Gar, I'll just keep reiterating that he's very good at what he does. He's out in Portland right now at the Nike Hoop Summit scouting. He and I work in tandem, but I assume the leadership of this organization in my role, and that's how we're set up. So our draft record, I think, is very good, and I'm going to be the one that's, you know, out front and center. That's how we've set it up.
Typically in the league, a team that wins 22 games, there's some finger pointing. We're seeing it happen in LA right now. We didn't see any of that with this franchise this season, despite the struggles because of the injuries. You've talked about how Boylan's been important to keeping it all together. Are you happy with the players themselves and the chemistry that they've developed in that locker room, the respect for each other that they have? Were you happy with what you saw this year?
Yeah, for the most part, I was, Lou. We got a good group of guys. I've said this often, and when you go through a rebuild, the veterans that you have on your team are vital. And, you know, Robin was really good for us. We traded Justin Holiday earlier in the year, and Justin was a good voice for our guys. So when we lost him that in that locker room, that was a veteran voice that was helpful. And then when we started having all these injuries, it's hard for injured players to be leaders, you know, because you're not out on the floor, you're not going through the grind with the guys. But I'm confident with what happened in the locker room this year. I do believe, though, that we're at this point now where we know we're going to add at least one young player to the roster through the draft. We have some money to spend. We are going to target veteran guys that are professional, can play the game, and will help our young guys along. That's vital to us right now. And I think as we do that, our young players will mature more. I was impressed this morning, you know, going through some of these exit meetings with our guys. They were no nonsense. The players were engaged. They accepted what Jim was asking of them, and Jim has high expectations for them. I think that's the only way you can achieve. And I do know that going into next season, through the summer and training camp, that Jim will be consistent with his message to the players. And I believe players respond to that.
John, a two-parter for you. First, you mentioned you sat in on some of the meetings. Did you sit in on the meeting with Lauri Markkanen?
I did.
And what was impressed upon him as to what he has to do between now and the start of next season to even get better? Because I would believe that he is the cornerstone of your rebuild.
Well, several things. And again, you remember that Lowry's young. The first thing for him is to continue to get stronger. He did last summer, came into camp bigger, more lean mass than he'd had. And then when he hurt his elbow, then, you know, you go through a stretch of time, you can't lift anymore, and so he lost some of that. So the strength thing for him is key. In terms of basketball, Lowry has to become – first of all, he has to learn how to play lower. His base has to become stronger. I think that will come with getting stronger, but his base has to become better so he can play lower and play against physicality. His ability to put the ball on the floor and create for himself has to improve. And I think he has to really focus on how to get himself open. You know, you don't have to be the quickest guy in the world to find ways to move your body and get yourself open. Larry Bird is a great example of that. I mean, he wasn't quick, and I mentioned that to Lowry this morning, that if you play at one speed, you're easy to guard. If you can even just change speeds up a little bit to get yourself open, and with his ability to shoot the basketball, he has so much. That's again, the encouraging thing is he's 2 years in, he's had a few little hiccups with injury, but the encouraging thing is he has so much room to grow. You know, so much room to grow. He averaged almost 19-9 this year in a year that, you know, I think if you talk to him, he'd tell you I could have done a lot better. So, and he's a great kid. He fits everything we want to be. He wants to win. He cares. Those are the type of guys that we're trying to find.
And I think this is probably going to be a one-word answer, yes or no. Is there anybody in the top two, three, outside of the top two, in the draft that is going to address a need the Chicago Bulls have right now with the positioning you guys have in the draft?
I think there's always, there'll be ways to address something we need, yeah. Yeah.
John?
Yes, Sam.
You had talked about playoffs and things like that going forward. Every team that's made this kind of jump you're talking about, essentially doubling your win total, has added a transactional player, Steve Nash or Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett with Boston, with those kind of jumps. So you're just saying that injury season is an aberration and you don't have to add that kind of player, that you have the base there to do it, to make what would be a shocking sort of jump in the league.
What's your question, Sam?
How do you go from 22 to 44 wins?
Well, you know, my heart tells me had we been healthy all year long, we would have won more than 22 games. Okay, if we after the auto trade, we would have. And I'm not, you know, you're putting a number out there that I haven't mentioned. All I've said is I'd like to see us in a hunt for a playoff run. And I do know that we have to be healthy to do that. But I've also talked a lot about the internal growth of our guys. I think Larry Markin has the opportunity to make a big step. I think Zach does, Wendell, Otto. We're going to have, if we're injury free, we're going to have a better bench than we had this year. So I understand what you're saying, that going out and get that transactional player. But there's other ways to build and to grow as a team, and I think we'll be okay in that regard.
As you heard Paxson say, the Bulls can't count on lottery luck to instantly change the fortunes of the franchise. Pax is confident the Bulls have a foundation in place to make a significant jump next season, hoping for good health. Don't forget, you can listen to all the Bulls Talk podcasts at NBCSportsChicago.com/podcasts. You also can listen and subscribe at Apple, Stitcher, and Google Play. We'll be coming at you again real soon with my conversation with head coach Jim Boylan, who now looks like he has a strong commitment from ownership and front office to try to turn the franchise around. So long, everybody.